Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout from a safe distance by my pal, Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And from an even safe distance on the bullpen phone, my pal, Krazook.
Hello, everybody. Do we need to get Brian off the ledge?
He's inching towards it. I think what we need to do is there's the latch on the window. We need to make sure that's secure just so that the window is not open so that he's not tempted
I'm looking out for you, Brian. I just want to make sure. It's been a rough week. Listen, if you're a Jays fan,
listen, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Even if they don't make the playoffs this year, it'll be okay. It's going to be okay.
Wait a second. Let me rewind the tape. It's gonna be okay. Were they going to be the second or the third best team in the majors this year?
And then I amended that when George Springer was hurt and Ken Giles was hurt. We do remember that, correct?
Right. And we do also remember when they got the trade deadline. And
hey, they still are playing like the second best team. And they just getting unlucky. They are the unluckiest team in baseball.
Whoa. Okay. Mr. Stats person, you got some stats to back that up, or just
Yes, I do. So the baseball Pythagorean record?
No.
So this is the right. Okay. I've seen this in football as well. Does this entail the run differential?
Yeah. So the Pythagorean winning percentage of it's a Bill James, a creation of Bill James from his 1984 historical baseball almanac. And he's refined it since then, but it's the idea that, there's a mathematical equation that basically equates to and shows the expected win loss, right? And has correlated for an incredibly long time with win loss, right? And the math equation is your expected winning percentage is your run scored times, or to the power of 1.81 divided by your runs scored to the power of 1.81 plus your runs allowed to the power of 1.81. And it comes up with what it expects your win percentage to be, and how many wins you should be expected to have. And the Jays are the most unlucky team in baseball. Their expected win loss percentage has them as the seventh best team in all of baseball, period. They should be there. They, based on their run differential alone, and that that mathematical equation, they are expected. And you can find this on ESPN on their stats page under RPI, relative power index, that their win loss record should be 75-50. They are currently sitting at 66-60. They should have an expected winning percentage of 0.601. Their current actual winning percentage is 0.524. They are the most unlucky team in baseball right now. At the win percentage that they are at, they still they would be in the playoffs right now, ahead of both the Yankees and the Red Sox, who are currently both exceeding their expected win loss percentages.
So this would be the adage of that's why they play the games.
No, it's literally just, I guess.
Certainly they do play the games, but it does seem account for it. Like, I mean, you do see like a team that goes well above, right? So the one of the things, like, so I pulled it up on MLB.com on their glossary, the Pythagorean. So Bill James, when he initially came up with this formula, apparently the exponent of choice was two, right? Rather than 1.83, which Baseball Reference, I guess, refined it. But as an example, they pointed out the 2018 Seattle Mariners finished the season with an 89-73 record, looked impressive. However, as the team, the Pythagorean win-loss record was 77-85, suggesting Seattle vastly outperformed their, you know, expected abilities in 2018. And so, you know, this is something that the DePoto and the Mariners front office agreed with, because they made a drastic rebuild on the basis of that season. And I think it would have surprised a lot of people who just looked at the one loss record, but the you know, the quants were like, well, wait a second, there's maybe something propping us up that we are not likely to do. And yeah, look, just even looking at the run differential, so right now in the AL East, Tampa Bay plus 155, then you've got the Yankees at plus 48, Boston at plus 62, and then Toronto at plus 113.
And you know, obviously, yes, your win record is what your win record is, right? And they're not going to get into the playoffs based on expected win record. I'm not going to sit here and try and sell you that horse, but they're unlucky. They have played and performed, generally speaking, like a high performance playoff team has, and they've just been incredibly unlucky in mostly one run games. You know, and you can either chalk that up to a bad bullpen or, you know, clutchness, which, you know, is the thing that most people agree doesn't actually exist. It's just luck, and sometimes you get unlucky, but you have to look at this and go, wow, I mean, they've built a team that is good, really, really, really good by the numbers, and that's only going to continue next year. They'll lose Simeon, and that's going to hurt.
All right.
But they'll get better.
Okay, hold on one second here. I'm going to try and save you here, Brian. First of all, the season isn't over.
Save me for what?
Well, you're talking about next year, and it's not over yet, right? They still got it. They still got series to go. They've got a month to go here.
They got to sweep the Tigers. They got to sweep the Tigers this weekend, and then they have to basically only lose one game to the O's if they're realistically going to have a chance.
Sure, exactly. It's still, we talked about this a couple weeks ago about schedule and that the Jays have a bit of an easier schedule ahead of them here, where they have to beat up the teams that are in front of them, as in lower in the standings, and then they have to play against Boston and Tampa Bay and New York. But yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, you know, I, yes, please don't just bank on that. I mean, it's called baseball. I mean, also too, I mean, I don't know. We can talk about pouring one out for the Orioles, who lost 19 games in a row. That's probably the most underrated 19 games losing streak I've seen in a while, because they're not making any movies of that, that's for sure. But I mean, they've been so bad for so long, I mean, that literally a 19 game losing streak doesn't really generate a lot of headlines. Like, I maybe I'm wrong, maybe I didn't see him, but I didn't see a lot of them. Maybe it was through the Olympics and stuff, but you know, they finally got off the schneid against actually Ohtani and the Angels. But
I think because people just expected them to lose, that like any losing streak is not considered a
particularly surprising. But that's a pretty epic one. Like, they were getting, if they got to 20, right? You're you know, they're going, like, they had one, like, way back, I think, in the late 80s, where they went 21 games to start a season without a win. So they're not even as bad as, you know, their own, you know, franchise record. But 19-game losing streak is no easy feat. I mean, as much as a 19-game win streak is, losing 19 in a row, that's pretty hard to do as well. Like, somewhere in there, you would fluke out a game, get lucky, you know, ball hits the base or something, someone hits a home run, someone gives a home run to you, like Tatis had in the 15th inning earlier this week, you know, like these, you know, baseball. So you get crazy things that happen. I mean, somewhere in there. But yeah, I mean
they've been bad for a long time. What was it? It was 2 years in a row that they were the only team in baseball history to have a lower number of wins than their manager's age. Like, that's pretty hard. Yeah. It's pretty hard to do.
No. It is pretty crazy about that. Did anyone, by any chance, I missed it, but did anyone stay up for the 16-inning incredible back-and-forth game about the Dodgers and the Padres this week?
I did not.
No, I did not catch it. I've been caddying for my son, so.
Oh, well.
Got to get my rest.
I didn't see it myself until like the next morning, so watching some of the highlights. But I mean, I guess this was, you know, because they, as it's the extra inning rule, they still had a runner on second base every inning, right? So it's pretty hard to go to 16 innings in this kind of format.
Here we go. Major League Baseball upset about the fact the game went to 16 innings. Rob Manfred now going to put a player on third to start the innings, not just second. Third.
Oh, I thought he was going to just give him a run. Just could let's be. Start with another run.
Put a,
yeah,
put you know. A player on home.
Yeah, just start him with a run.
Yeah, he gets.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's just a hunk of metal, anyways, right, Rob?
That's right. I mean, we all know that. But I mean, the crazy thing, if you've seen the highlights of this, is that the Dodgers scored a couple, I think, in the 15th, and then the Padres, who, you know, we're having a tough series against the Dodgers, they get some help. I can't remember who's in the outfield, but Tatis hits a home run, but actually gets a little bit, it kind of goes off the glove, but I guess the top of the fence as well. But, you know, so they rallied to tie. And then, of course, the Dodgers went in the 16th inning. But a pretty big series there. And there's a crazy stat. Dodgers have gone from like 15 out of 17 to wins over the last little bit here. And they're still 2.5 back on the Giants. I tell you,
they're three behind maybe, right now. And I was going to say, right, ultimately, well, that's the thing, is like the Dodgers in San Diego going to 16 innings. And San Francisco's got a 5-game winning streak. And they're looking pretty likely to win the division. And like,
who would have predicted? Did any of us think at the beginning
of all the predictions we made at the beginning of the season?
No one. Giants, I don't think anyone.
I would have thought they'd be duking.
I wouldn't even say for wild card. I wouldn't.
Oh no, yeah, I would have thought they were duking it out with like Colorado for like fourth place.
I thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the league. So yeah, there's egg on my face. I was in this very space last year at the trade deadline, saying that the Giants shouldn't be going out and being buyers. It would be one of the stupidest things they could do, because they were on the opposite side of that luck spectrum, and that team sucked. And look at this now.
Dodgers run differential, the expected, like, so the run differential for the Dodgers is 209, San Francisco it's 152. So their records should be flipped if you went on the Pythagorean, but they're still an 80-47 if you were looking at the Pythagorean. And right now at 83-44, they have the best winning percentage in all of baseball.
Yeah, they are. Man, I just could not have predicted this. I couldn't have seen this. I couldn't have predicted this. This is bananas. And like, it's not like they have like a superstar either.
No, I was going to say that, no, you know, try to name four or five guys team. Like,
they just have a bunch of really solid players.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I always go back to the bit of a West Coast, you know, bias a bit in regards to that. A lot of, you know, you don't see a lot of the games, right? Like, it's later in for our time zone, mm-hmm. or especially in the Eastern zone. And they just kind of snuck up. I mean, as weird as it, because everyone just assumed it was going to be Dodgers and Padres duking it out.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the everyone there.
Here's
I mean, the rebirth of Buster Posey, too. Like, holy cow.
I'll tell you, if you had him in fantasy this year, you know, tip your hat, right? Because, I mean, he would have been a very low pick because he just hadn't done a lot lately. And, yeah, there's just a lot, you know, they're just a solid team right now. I mean, I think they're not going to get a lot of respect going in the playoffs. Seem to win games.
And it's not even an even year.
No.
Oh, but 2020 didn't happen. Didn't anybody tell you?
Oh, right.
So this is the, we cross that one off, and this is technically, they're playing as if it's 2020. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, yeah, well, I mean the all Tokyo they have to do Olympics. Is look on T.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, right. Yes, it was the 2020 right? Olympics.
Both branded themselves as 2020s.
There you go.
Why would you want to brand yourself as 2020 anyways? Let's be honest. That's like, we.
It's a tough brand. Yeah.
I'm not the one in charge of that, so.
Gonna pour one out for Rhys Hoskins, who is out for the season having abdominal surgery. Apparently, so an injury that he's been battling over the entire season. Tear in his lower abdomen. He's been playing through this whole season. Said that it didn't affect his hitting, but that was the only thing that it didn't affect. It's fielding and running he was having trouble with. Even the game that he got pulled from, he had a homer before he left the game. But having surgery, it's a, I think, where did I read here? This was Todd Zielecki writing on MLB.com that the timetable for the injury puts him past the season. So he's expected based on the recovery times to be fine for spring training for next year, but electing to have it now because it's just become an unbearable pain.
Big hit for the Phillies, eh?
Yeah, they lost like, Zach Eflin.
Big hit for the Phillies.
And they were, you know, kind of like they're what, 5 games back of Atlanta, but you know, not, I mean, especially because you know, in they've got a few series against Atlanta left, I believe. So there was a chance that they could kind of make up that ground. But between Hoskins and then not sure exactly when they'll get Zach Eflin back. Tough pair of blows for the two of them. I hesitate to bring it up because it happened against my Twins. And so I just want to pretend it didn't happen. But yeah, Chris Sale pitched an immaculate inning. This is his third immaculate inning.
Only him and Sandy Koufax are the only two pitchers in MLB history to have three.
I've heard of him.
There is an asterisk a bit behind because I read that of the stats that they have, because sometimes I guess back in the day earlier than that, they wouldn't have had the pitch by pitch sequence. So there could have been other pitchers, but as of the records they have, yes, only Sandy and Chris Sale.
I don't count anything before integration.
sure.
I mean, probably, yeah. Well, I mean, if there are stats, it's probably stats for the Negro Leagues that there might have been immaculate innings that we wouldn't have those stats, although now those are considered major league stats as well. So.
No, but it's still quite an accomplishment. Yeah. And another kick to the head to the Twinkies this year. Oh. Let's say that.
Yeah, I know. Nick Gordon, Andrelton Simmons, and Rob Reffensteiner. It's a tough look for my guys. But I mean, this whole season is a tough look for my guys.
That's okay. I think
how are they unlucky as well, Michael? Would they have won like another 30 games?
No, no, their run differential. They're the worst in the AL Central on both on paper and theoretically.
Nice. Well, so they are where they are.
They're exactly where they're unfortunately supposed to be. Yes. Yes. Sad news for me. But yeah, so yeah, no, hat tip to Chris Sale though.
Totally.
There's actually been a fair number of immaculate innings. So I guess, do we even say what exactly it is for folks who don't follow along.
Some people might not know what that is. It's not so, it's not a very known thing. It's not like a no hitter, right?
Right. And in fact, actually, so three up, three down, all three batters struck out on three pitches. So nine pitches in one inning for a
pitcher.
So
it doesn't have to be three strikes. It could be like a foul ball or whatever, but it's only three pitches at a at bat.
No, I think they all have to be strikeouts.
No, strikeout. I think
it, well, so I, like you I could have like a like foul could, ball strike.
That's what I'm
but
saying.
You have to strike out.
Yes.
Yeah, no, no, totally. I'm just saying it's not a it could have been a foul ball. That's all I'm saying.
The first two could be fouls.
Yes. Yeah. But it's three strikes.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, a swinging strike versus like caught looking. It's a strikeout.
That's right.
But just nine pitches total. Yeah. In fact, like it's not the most well-known feat. And in fact, so Kenley Jansen tossed one in 2017, and he said he didn't know what it was when he did it, but as he's quoted in a piece on MLB.com, now I know, and it's awesome. So, you know, I mean for a pitcher, like it's certainly like it is quite a feat, right? Like, I mean, as there are, let's see here, eight in 2017 did it. Apparently none from 29 to 52, though, of course, as you said, the record books, a little bit less clear, but, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4 others. Pardon me. 4 total this year. Chad Green, of the Yankees did it against the Mets in July. Michael King of the Yankees did it against the Red Sox in June. And Kyle Finnegan of the Nationals did it in May against Atlanta.
Is that more or less than normal?
A year before, only Zach Plesac did it. In 2019, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8, including Chris Sale.
So there are only 103 immaculate innings in total as
that, of... That they recorded, yes. I mean, the one thing is last year's an anomaly, right? Because there wasn't as many, it wasn't one.
Yeah, that's true.
And all that, right? But I mean, you know what the weird thing is? It kind of reminds me a bit of like triple doubles, like in basketball. That it's sort of, I think it's become a more of a thing as we go now, as opposed to back in the day. I mean, I think people just had immaculate innings and no one really, they didn't have a lot of stats maybe for them, and two, it just kind of happened, right? And no one really kind of blinked an eye, just because it's just part of a game, right? It's just a half an inning, right? So, you know, hey, you go three up, three down, no big deal sometimes. And you just all of a sudden, oh, by the way, did anyone get the ball out of the play, or did they all swing on it or whatever? And was it only three pitches? Yeah, it just kind of, it's kind of now, I think more, it's gained more prominence over the years, I think.
It is kind of fascinating to go through the list and look at some of the pitchers who've done it. Like you've got some like really like fireball-y relievers, like a Josh Hader and a Dellin Betances, you know, a few years back, like when he was healthy. Kenley Jansen, as I mentioned, Craig Kimbrell's done it. But then you've got your starters like Max Scherzer.
Pedro.
Right. You've got Chris Sale, obviously, Steven Strasburg. Weirdly enough, Kevin Gausman's done it twice.
That's hilarious.
That's funny. Has it someone like Scherzer done it?
Scherzer's done it. Yeah, he was one of the names I mentioned. Because when I was talking about kind of like you got some expected guys, and then you've got like guys like Juan Nicasio and Brandon McCarthy have both done it.
Sure.
Yeah. McCarthy was good for a while though, right? Like I feel like Brandon McCarthy was like a decent pitcher for like a decent chunk
of time.
Like
Eric Gagne, would he've got something like that? Because he had that little stretch where he was.
It does not seem as though Eric Gagne got one. Other relievers to get one around the time though would Jason Isringhausen, Byung-Hun Kim, and BJ Ryan.
There's a blast name from the past there for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he did it when he was with the O's.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Of course. And someone like Mo wouldn't have got a Rivera, right?
It does not
seem
that.
I can't imagine he would have. That was not his.
No, it wasn't his forte as much. He would just kind of soft the bat and all that stuff. And
I mean, he pitched a soft contact, right? That was the intention. Clay Buchholz has one. That's funny. AJ Burnett has one, not with the Blue Jays again.
Well, the big unit, Randy Johnson.
John Strohmeyer has one. John Strohmeyer, former Expos pitcher, did it with the Expos against the Phillies on July 10th, 1971.
Wow. What about Clemens? Would he have one?
Yeah,
I saw his name on there. He did it when he was with the Blue Jays, actually, against the Red Sox.
Ah, there you go.
Taking down Nomar Garciaparra, John Valentin, and Mo Vaughn to lead off the first.
That's a good inning.
That was a good start. I mean, he may have been juicing at that point, but...
Allegedly.
Probably a little bit more than allegedly. I think he got caught, right? That was...
He would say otherwise.
It was
they definitely caught him with the Yankees.
It was booster juice, not juice.
Astros. Yeah.
He knew Joey Bats long before he was a spokesperson for booster juice.
I do love a good booster juice.
Nothing wrong with delicious. That. Love it. Love a good smoothie, that's for sure.
Hey, we're just coming up with a month left here. Do you think Cincinnati's going to keep the wild card here?
I would love it if they did. I mean, I'd like to see Joey Votto in the playoffs.
Joey Votto, I think it would be fantastic. It would just...
You would rather have them in the playoffs than the Padres?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
I
think the window for the Padres is a much wider window.
I think the Padres could go... Yeah. The Reds is an unexpected one if it happened.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I would rather have the Padres, but I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, I don't really care about the National League all that much. So I guess, cool. If they can beat the Dodgers, then whatever, man, as long as they beat the Dodgers, we're good.
Well, we'll see soon enough.
Blake Snell would like to beat him, that's for sure.
Anything else you guys want to talk about before we hand it over?
Got to talk about the pity party.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
No idea what I'm doing yet.
I
haven't even thought about it. I have Friday off, so I'm going to sit down and do it tomorrow morning like I used to, which is great. So I haven't even thought about what I'm doing. I'm just enjoying my evening.
I think you gotta, you know.
So anything new that you've been digging, I guess, is the question.
Well, Pinegrove put out a new track yesterday. It's called Orange, and it's really, really terrific. I don't know if you've had a chance.
Oh, you gotta do fruits then. If they have orange, you gotta do like different fruits
or colors.
Yeah, you know what? I can absolutely make that happen. Yep, yeah. I can make that happen. So we're gonna have a fruit based show.
Yeah, there you go. That's free of charge. There you go.
Yeah. So new Pinegrove track. It's called Orange. It's the new track. So I'm excited.
You gotta play some Harry Styles in Watermelon Sugar. Right, there you go.
I mean, I might. We'll see. We'll see.
I don't even know if that's allowed on UMFM.
Well, yeah, why not? We do get...
I'm allowed
a certain
10%
amount
charting,
of
right?
chart material, but, you know...
Because Harry Styles really needs that royalty.
Yeah, I've heard that guy doesn't get a lot of airplay.
He needs another shirt to wear, right? So...
Yeah, something like that. But I can... I definitely know I can manage some tracks of some fruit-based. I don't know if I can manage the whole 2 hours of fruit-based programming.
Oh,
I can probably
you,
get...
I bet you you surprise yourself. I think you could... Oh, I think... I'll come up with 5 songs after this and text you them, Brian.
Okay. I'm going to play Blink-182, Toast and Bananas. That's going to get on there.
There you go.
Strawberita from Remo Drive is going to get on there.
How about Strawberry Fields Forever by the
Grapes?
Beatles.
Grapes of Wrath from Weezer. Grapes of Wrath from Weezer, Grapes from Avlov, and Grapevine Fires from Death Cab for Cutie.
Wow. See, you got grapes alone. Dad. You got 30 minutes just on grapes.
Can I get grapefruit? No, I guess not grapefruit. What else can I? I have trouble thinking of fruits. What the heck?
Well, there's got to be something about apples.
There's got to be some songs.
Fiona Apple. You can say Fiona Apple. Okay,
There's a band called Blueberry.
There's actually a band called Strawberry from Prince Edward Island as well. So
Oh, there we go.
You can have raspberry beret by the symbol.
I could get raspberry beret by Prince. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Appleseed Cast. That's band, that's a band England, that I like quite a bit. Yep. And Jets to Brazil has a track called Milk and Apples. So there we go.
There you go.
I believe there's actually a
that's your cover. Like your classic emo cut for you too, a little Jets to Brazil.
Oh, that's nice. I was going to say Warren Zevon, I believe, did a cover version of Raspberry Beret as another alternative.
I love Prince. Oh, I love Prince.
That's probably his best song, but that could be sacrilegious to people, but that's probably my go-to
thing. Well, we've teased it then. So tune in at 1 p.m.
See, this is great. People already know. They're like, oh, geez, I'm going to be eating. I'm hungry. I'm going to have something to eat for lunch. And then it's party with just fruits.
Have a good lunch and then just save room for dessert because all the fruit is coming.
Fruit-based programming.
I don't want to say anything else. All righty. Hey, are we done today?
We are.
Oh, we're done today, actually. I always say tonight, but it's today. It's listening stuff. Well, you know what? This is good times because, you know, when you're watching baseball, when they got to start it up, they got to go, let's play ball!
He blew out his mic.
Bless you.
Strike three, you're out.